You're stupid. Your whole being and the way you are. What happens when you get attacked? Just like I said, there's the amygdala activation. Once that amygdala activates, it's a little almond in the frontal part of your brain. It's not that big, but it has a big effect on you. You start shutting down your brain. You can't think straight. We've all been there. As soon as we get attacked, we're fighting it. All of a sudden, we get tunnel vision. It gets narrow. We're not hearing everything the other person's saying. We're getting frustrated. We're going to start resorting back to what we know, which is to attack back or to cower and give in. What happens when we attack and the amygdala activation happens? That's a fight. We're going to get into a fight mode. We're going to be arguing back and forth. And guess what? We're making the other person dumber and they're making us dumber. If neither one of us are thinking clearly, we're not going to have a good conversation. We're going to be struggling and we're not going to get anywhere. We're wasting each other's time. How many times have you guys been in an argument and nothing got resolved? Because both of y'all are fighting and nobody's listening to the other side. I hear what they have to say because you've attacked me. So my response is I'm going to attack back. Or you might consider flight. Your next step is I'm going to get out of that situation as fast as I can. I'm going to run. I'm going to leave the conversation. I'm going to figure out a way to get out of that room. When you do that, if you fight or if you flee, what have you accomplished? At some point in time, we talk about the elephant in the room, and you guys have heard it. It's always going to be there. It's still there. You're going to have that tough conversation again at some point. And the more you flee or fight, you're never going to get it accomplished.
Just in regards to the amygdala, I think a lot of us are aware of this already, but just to add some clarity, right? The amygdala is a part of the brain that's often referred to as the reptilian brain or the caveman brain, hence the pictures there. And something I've always found, I'm no neuroscientist, right? So I'm not necessarily stating this as fact. My understanding of the evolution of the human brain, the amygdala is so ingrained in what we do, it's actually the only part of the brain that has not evolved since caveman times. The amygdalas that we have now that exist in our brain are built exactly the same way they were millions and millions of years ago when we were hunter-gatherers running around in loincloths. And it's the only part of the human brain that hasn't actually grown and developed and changed over time. And so why does that matter for us? Well, it's such a nucleus, as it were, to how we process data that we have to be acutely focused on how it operates in order to control it. Because this default mechanism of fight, flight, or make friends, or I want to defend myself, or you know, all the reasons that Troy just mentioned in regards to why people get mad, because someone's not listening to them, or they're under pressure, or simply just because they can. Those are all directly related to amygdala activation. You don't feel listened to, you get upset, your amygdala cuts on, you start to defend yourself by fight or flight, and you're no longer collaborative. Right? If you're under pressure, you're feeling a lot of heat from somewhere else in your environment. And then your amygdala is already on every time you interact with someone because of everything that you're carrying around with you, the proverbial chip on the shoulder, as it were. And then just because they can, you know, for those, I know some of you are part of our bargaining course that started yesterday. We were talking about the difference between influence and manipulation during that class yesterday. And just because someone can, that is a manipulative technique. What they've learned through practice is if they can stay angry and push people to a limit, then they can in fact manipulate their decision-making, which again is all about the amygdala. As long as I show anger, as long as I show that I'm being defensive or being attacking, then I'm gonna trigger their amygdala. They're not gonna be thinking clearly, and then they'll probably give me what I want because they're off kilter. And so this amygdala thing, right, it's easy to breeze through it, but being acutely aware of how it functions and how it actually distracts us from optimum performance is really the first step to being an optimum performer, being in that 1%, right? As the old cliche, the first step to solving any problem is first identifying the problem. And so that's some of what we're doing here. And that ties right into, if we accept that these problems are going to happen, right? And Troy talks a lot about this in the caviar class, right? The idea of acceptance. If we accept that these things are going to happen to us, as opposed to hope that it doesn't happen, right? We all, that's kind of a natural human issue. I hope that I don't get attacked. I hope that I don't have to deal with this, right? We all know from Never Split the Difference, hope is not a strategy. But when we start to accept, it makes us much more equipped to stay cognitively flexible in the moment. There's a great quote, the guys that wrote the book, Start With No, the camp guys, Todd Camp and his father, Jim, his late father, Jim. One of the things that I love about how they describe negotiation is that negotiation is a human performance event. They actually very closely compare it to like running track, running the 200, running the 400. It is a human performance event where you got to have very specific focus. You have to have very specific training, and you got to be willing to adapt in the moment, right? Because you are performing and the environment is ever changing. And so, you know, right, these are just things to be aware of. If you're to the point where you're in a situation and you're trying to figure out, like, how do I keep myself from boiling over, right? Getting triggered. And one of the things that I do is like, I'm like, damn it, my amygdala is active again, right? If I can say that to myself in the moment, my amygdala is active again, or I'm being distracted by my amygdala, it actually helps me move forward in the conversation as opposed to being stuck in that moment. And so I forgive me for rambling, Troy. I wanted to add that piece in real quick.
And it's a very good point, much needed. And just like what Brandon was saying about that, and it's so true, if we can tell ourselves my amygdala is active again, it'll calm us down. It'll get us out of that frame of mind where we're struggling. One of us have to be calm and back in the fight in order for us to get the other person back in the game. If both of us are still out of the game, we're in trouble. We talk about fight and flight, and we also talk about freeze. Sometimes in the moment you just freeze, you just get stuck. And we actually had a situation that happened when we did that five day course that we did. We had a young man who was taking the course, and we broke off into breakout rooms. And I'll never forget it, where when we asked him a question and asked him to participate, he froze up. I mean, to the point where he couldn't even get one word out. And I think Brandon, Chris, and I were all in the same room. And they took the time to say, what are you feeling? And the guy, I mean, it was as if the words wanted to come out, but he couldn't. And they said, what are you feeling? And he said, and they said, you're feeling nervous, say it. He says, no, you're feeling nervous, say it. And he finally said it. He got the word nervous out, and they said, now say it again, I'm feeling nervous. And every time they started doing that, he was able to get easy. It became easier for him to say, I'm feeling nervous, I'm feeling nervous, to the point where he actually got back into the game and started participating and having some comments. And it excited me to see the skills at work, because he was allowed to figure out how to get back into the fight. And I'm sitting back and I'm watching, and I said, wow, this is powerful stuff. Under stress, you don't know how you're going to react until you get put in that situation. And if you can't calm down and get out of your own head, you just lost the fight. And that's in negotiations, that's in business, when you're having to deal with your counterpart, you're having to have that tough conversation. You know what you have to do. Your bosses, if you're mid-level, upper-level management, and your bosses are saying, hey, this has to get done, this is the timeline and this one person is not doing that. You have to have that tough conversation and you can't have it. Who are they going to come against? They're going to turn to you. Maybe you're not a good supervisor. Maybe you don't have the right management style. And that's going to close off your mind and it's going to become problematic for you. What is the alternative? We want to make friends. The person you're dealing with is not the adversary. They're not the problem. The problem is the problem. You want to get the other person and yourself to work together to solve the problem. And when you can do that, you're going to accomplish your goal. You don't have to agree with the other person. You know, they don't have to necessarily agree with you, but work through the problem. That's why we talk about tactical empathy all the time. You're going to hear things like tactical empathy, emotional intelligence. You know, we talk about the skills, label, mirroring, dynamic silence. All of those things we talk about for a reason. Once you start understanding the process, you're going to get better.